are listening to the Sermon Podcast from Real Life on the Palouse, reaching the world for Jesus, one person at a time.
So this week, we're really focusing on the M and the D. That does not say scammed, by the way, David Hathaway. It's you guys are really transparent. You're scamming us. No. It says share, connect, minister, and disciple. And so this week, we're on the minister and disciple part of what we're talking about.
He wasn't alone in that, just so you know.
Well, we can make fun of David anyway. No. And so we're excited to bring this message for you guys today. So over the past couple weeks, we've talked about sharing and connecting. And at Real Life, that's an acronym we have, is Share, Connect, and then Minister, Disciple. And this is all the outward flowing of how we go out into the community and what that looks like. And so today, as we focus on minister and disciple, it's what it looks like to multiply God's kingdom. We are multiplying God's kingdom. Look at our room. We have a full room of folks today. And so we are multiplying God's kingdom. There's actually four people that are getting baptized today at our church. We're excited about that. Yeah, making decisions for Christ. And so our pathway of this share, connect, and minister and disciple is how we live this calling out together. Small groups is where it happens. Our faith moves from theory to actual practice. And this is where encouragement and accountability grow for us, and we multiply the kingdom. So my heart as your pastor is simple. No one here is meant to sit on the sidelines. This is not a watch and observe church. This only reason this is the church is because you're here today. The building is not the church. We step into what God has for us. And so as your pastor, I'm just asking you to be part of what we're doing as we multiply the kingdom of God and share this amazing message.
Yeah. I think last week, Josh talked that it all starts with responding to our first love. That when we receive that invitation to accept Jesus as as our Savior, that's the first beginning, is it stepping into that invitation. It's surrendering. It's receiving God's grace. It all starts there. And then Josh showed about, or he talked about the ABCD. You see it in the posters, like when we walk into the auditorium. That's the inward movement with your faith. It's when you accept. It's when you personally choose to belong. It's when you find a way to contribute and then disciple or become a disciple of Christ. And then like Josh said, the SCMD is when that inward faith multiplies out towards other people. It's when we go and share. It's when we invite others to connect. It's when we minister together. And when we disciple, that becomes the multiplication process.
Yeah, and that's the foundation, is sharing and connecting. And it naturally leads us into ministering and discipling, because once you've received and you've rooted yourself in God's love, it becomes natural. Like, it overflows out of you. Like a tree, when it bears fruit, like, it bears fruit, and you're like, there's lots of fruit here. And we want to bear lots of spiritual fruit in our lives. So today we're going to look at how ministering and discipling flows out of your connection with Christ, and how this deepening relationship that we have. And when your life is rooted in Jesus, again, it overflows into your spouse, into your kids, into your roommates, into your workplace. It comes out of you. Ever been around somebody that's just like Christ is just overflowing out of them, and you're just like, wow, they are like, I'm attracted to that. That's a good thing. And that's how we're meant to be. That's how we're meant to function. That's how we're meant to live our life. So it's not an accidental thing. It's intentional. And so we're here to be intentional, and it's the very thing that equips us to minister and disciple in every part of our lives.
Yes, and you still have more.
Sorry. We're working our notes here.
I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, I do have more?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't see it anywhere. You go.
Okay. Well, it starts with connection, right? And it's powerful when you experience, but I think we've all felt what it's like to be disconnected to. I know that I've felt disconnection with some of our friendships. It's been hard when that happens. I know that I've felt disconnection within our families. We've had a lot happen this year that was very difficult to work through. We're not always connected. Sometimes we have a disconnection here within our marriage. But again, the point is that God did design us for connection with him and with others in every area that he's placed us. And so today, that's what we're going to talk about. First, that it's being rooted in him, growing in community, and then living on purpose.
Thank you. We're dancing up here. We'll see how many times we step on each other's toes as we team teach together. This is like a microcosm look into our marriage. You know what I mean? We need some therapy after this. No. What happened? Well, we preached together. No. All right. So last week when we talked about it all starts with Christ, growth in Christ is the foundation of ministry and discipleship. Without roots, our spiritual fruit cannot multiply. And so John 15:5 in our text, here's what it says. It says, Jesus says that I am the vine. He is the vine. Jesus Christ is the vine. And that you are the branches. And if you remain in me, if you remain in Jesus Christ, and he'll remain in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from your relationship in Jesus with Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing, he says. So our connection to Jesus is rooted in every area of our life, whether that's our friendships, our marriages, our homes, if you're single, in your singleness, in our workplaces, on the campus where you are, with your teammates, if you're on a team at the university, even with your in church involvement. It all starts in this being rooted and bearing fruit because you are rooted with Christ Jesus. So throughout Scripture, God often uses images of trees. And in Psalm 1, he says, the righteous are like a tree planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in season. The righteous are like a tree planted by streams of living water that bears fruit. You need water. You need the Spirit of God. In Jeremiah 17, it says, those who trust in the Lord are compared to a tree with roots that reach the water, never failing to bear fruit, even in drought and times of need. Jesus himself compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed, in a sense, tree, right? And that this mustard tree seed, even though it's the smallest of seeds, it becomes something great. And this seed offers shelter and rest. Think of a well taken care of tree if you have one in your yard. It's where the roots are deep and healthy. Maybe it produces fruit. Maybe it provides shade. Maybe your kids play in it and don't fall off it and get hurt. That would be good. And the branches reach outward. And people find rest there. Christ blesses every area that you touch, your home, your friendships, your campus, workplace, and your community. And here's the connection. A tree doesn't grow just for itself. Its shade isn't just for itself. Its fruit isn't for itself. Its strength isn't just for itself. It's meant for others. And your faith in Christ as it grows is meant for others. That's why you minister. It's why you disciple. Ministry is like extending your branches to serve others. Discipleship is like planting seeds that grow into more trees and multiply faith for the next generation. You don't plant a tree for yourself. Usually you plant it for the next generation. So let me ask you, is Jesus still your first love in every area of your life? Is it flowing out of you? I remember when I was in the insurance business, and even sometimes as the pastor here, work can be overwhelming. And I remember running on empty so much. I'd come home and come home to my three kids at the times, and I just want to sit down and not do anything, be left alone. And I remember how that would affect my family and how empty I was. And it's because I wasn't watering the faith that God had given me. I'd wake up and I'd rush into my day and just move on and everything. I had nothing left to give. I was trying it's like I'm trying to hand out fruit that's all dried up and shriveled and doesn't have any value because I wasn't taking care of the basic things with me. But when I slowed down, when I began my mornings, my feet hit the ground and I said, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. How can you use me? Here I am, Lord, send me. When I spent time in his word and let that start feeding my soul and watering me, when I worshiped, I love worshiping with you guys. When I worshiped, I would fill up. It's like this tree was starting to be taken care of. And then outside of that, the overflowingness could come out of that. And my coworkers noticed it in my insurance business. I was more patient. I was more invested in them. My family noticed it. They felt it. Carrie, did you probably felt and notice that I was like a better, different guy when I'm being watered by Jesus Christ? So my connection to Jesus gave me strength, peace, and patience that I didn't have on my own. Staying rooted in Jesus overflows to all of the areas of your life. It all starts with being in a deep relationship with God. And when you're rooted in God's love, He is the one that equips you to minister. He is the one that provides for you people for you to disciple and for you to pour your life out into. And it all starts as we multiply the kingdom.
Yes, yeah, so God did design us for relational life. And I know some of you right now do not like what I just said. You might be squirming a little bit because, yes, relationships can be messy. They can be really hard, sometimes awful. But God did design us for relational connection. Discipleship happens when we engage with others. You know, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27, he compares the church body, or he compares the church to a body. He says, like, some of you guys are hands, some are your feet, some are eyes, some are ears. Every part matters. No one can say, I don't belong. No one can say, I'm not important. And I hope some of you hear me say that. God designed the body so that we all contribute, support one another, and grow together. You know, when one part suffers, we all suffer. And when one part thrives, we should all be rejoicing. Think about a team project when you're at work or with a group of friends when you're serving together on campus. When everyone shows up, I know that you can feel that contribution, can't you? I mean, if you've ever had to do a team project at the university, you know. Everybody's got to do their part. Everybody's got to show up. But if just one person disengages, the whole team feels it, right? The same is true in your home. It's true in your marriage. It's true in your circle of friends. It's true in your church here. When each person contributes, the whole body thrives. We see it in action every Sunday. Like, we're getting to sit here because we had multiple teams work together to provide this kind of environment that we could share and worship together, from connections to worships to graphics. I mean, I could go on and on, but it takes a team. We saw what our church can do as a group when we do Surffest in the spring. We attack the community with Serve projects. We saw it with our back-to-school bash. That was an adventure. And there is no way that one person could have done that. It was powerful. It's even how this church started. Do you know that it didn't start with a building? It started with one small group. One. And now it's in over 30 groups because people committed to show up and contribute together. It all starts with an invitation. You think about that. Jesus extended an invitation to his disciples. His disciples then invited somebody else. And that same invitation actually has now reached us. It's powerful. And we get to extend it to others. You know, really, discipleship is just walking with someone in their faith as you follow Jesus together. It's just walking with someone in their faith as you follow Jesus together. Don't do it alone. It's kind of like a relay race. You run your part, then you encourage the next one to run, you pass the baton, and you hope that next person will go and that it would keep on extending on to other people. You know, one of the best ways that I've seen this happen, I love it, I call it my ministry, it's the buddy system. I love the ministry of the buddy system. It's simple. Wherever God has put your 2 feet to plug in and to connect, don't do it alone. Invite someone to come with you. That's where it starts. One of the best ways, well, actually, I'm going to skip that part. But Proverbs 27:17 says this. Maybe some of you know it. Iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another, right? We all get to work together and to help each other in that way. So what does it actually look like? I like to have practical application. I know that that's helped me in my journey. So again, the first thing is just invitation. It starts with an invitation of inviting someone in to join you. So Josh mentioned it last week, and it starts with finding someone who'd be willing to mentor and disciple you. I know that as some of us get older, we don't do this anymore. We start to run on our own, but I would like to encourage the older and wiser generation to not stop that. Find someone to invest in you. And then I would encourage you to find someone to invest in. And sometimes that's hard. Like when you look at this big community, you're like, where do I even start? It can be overwhelming. I would say, first of all, pray. Ask God. Say, God, I need a mentor. Please bring someone. I would look around and I would find someone maybe who has attributes that you really admire. Maybe it's in how they deal with difficult conversations. Maybe it's a mom who's really good with her kids. I would just take time and maybe invite them to coffee. Take one small step. The next thing is minister where you are. Look where God is working and invite others to join you. Use your gifts. It can happen in work. It can happen in your neighborhood. It could be at church. Sometimes ministry looks as simple as encouraging someone else. There are so many teams here at the church. I had mentioned that earlier. Sometimes ministry is just being present. And I think that's really hard in a world that's so busy right now and distracting us. Just being present is huge. Be intentional with your relationships. I would encourage you to ask questions. I would encourage you to encourage. I would encourage you to take steps forward of seeing someone engaging them. It doesn't have to be formal. It's just about showing up and being available. And I know, like I just said, sometimes it's really, really hard. And finally, I want to encourage you guys to celebrate where you guys see God already working. Pay attention. He is moving. There's growth that's happening. There's breakthroughs that are taking place. And there's little victories that are all over the place if we would just take time and celebrate what God's doing. Because as we invest in people, God multiplies in ways that we could never do on our own. I know in our life group, we don't just do prayer requests, we do celebrations as well. I remember as a mom raising three kids, and I wanted our family to be a team. We weren't always a team, but I wanted us to be a team. I wanted us to learn to minister together. My kids would call it chores, but I would say, like, this is where we start. What does it look like to minister for one another? And as a family, when we all engaged, our family thrived. But it started with me as a mom being intentional. And it's not easy. There's times I didn't want to. But I needed to. Because when I engaged, I saw our family thrive. I would try to pray with them at the dinner table and at bedtime. We would work on serving together. I tried to model what supporting my husband looked like, not with only within our marriage, but also when we were together at the church. But I also knew, like, when I disengaged, my family would spiral down. Little steps that I would take would make all the difference. So it's little steps at a time. And the reality is I didn't know how to do this. I had a mom, I had grandparents, I had good friends that came alongside me. And they would help me know what the next step I should take in, what I should take. I mean, like we were saying, one of our friends here, she's invested in me for over 30 years. Chokes me up. I'm quite the ministry. So, but with what I'm excited about, though, is this ministry didn't stop with me once my kids were out of the house. Actually, this ministry is multiplying. I get to be a grandma now, and I love it. I love praying with my grandkids. I love pointing them to Jesus. I love singing their songs that they're learning in children's ministry with them. It is so much fun. I am raising River to be one of the best little connectors here at the church that you've ever seen. We're working together here on this. But what's even more fun is as I'm investing in the grandkids, I'm also investing in my kids who are now investing in their families. It's like a multiplication, rippling effect that once started with me, now spans multiple generations. And I get fired up about that. But you know, if you're not a parent or if you're not a grandparent yet, If you're single, your friends and your roommates, they matter. If you're a student, your dorm or your team is your ministry space. And if you're retired, please engage, because your wisdom and your presence, they're gifts. Wherever God has placed you, investing in people is kingdom work, and it multiplies far beyond what we could do just in our home. Community shapes us everywhere, and the growth flows into purpose. That's where we live out God's calling to minister and disciple.
Yeah, well said, Carrie. God has a mission. He has a plan, and you are part of it. You've heard that here before. We gather to scatter. We gather to unleash this army out in the kingdom, in the university, at your workplaces, all of those things. There's a purposeful ministry and discipleship that extends into all the areas of influence, and it creates a tangible, life-altering impact. I got to meet a gentleman today. He's a new principal over in Pullman. He has the ability to make life-altering impacts. We all have that ability. Paul speaks about it in Ephesians chapter 4. And so go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And here's what it says. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Christ gave a gift of people that have some of these characteristics. And we don't all have to have those characteristics, but he gave a gift to these people for the purpose of fulfilling the mission that God has. Who gave us these type of guides? Jesus did. Jesus himself gave us this gift of these people. And why did he do it? To equip his people. Do you know that you're his people? Say, we're his people. It never works for me, but I always like to try it again. Say it again. We're his people.
We're his people.
You are the his, right? We're his people to equip his people for works of service, of ministering, right? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature and attaining to the whole measure of the fulfillment of Christ. He wants the whole measure. He wants everyone in here to have the fulfillment of Christ. You know what that means? The idea of fulfillment is not static. The concept is a moving process where you and I and the community grow and we become mature and we're united in the expression of Christ. We show what his character looks like. We show what it looks like to have grace and patience. We show what the reality of what it looks like of God's love and his power in the world, because we're his people. Verse 14, it says, when this happens, then no longer will we be infants tossed by back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and cunning and craftiness of the people and their deceitful scheming. Because we as a unit are going to be strong in understanding what God's word says, and we know what the mission is. We're not going to get distracted. We can like football. We can like golf. We can like all those things, but that's going to be a side benefit. Our focus is God's mission. Instead, we speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, and that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. You are a supporting ligament. I don't know which part you are, but you are a supporting ligament. So am I. And it grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. What do you mean do its work? It means minister. It means have your eyes open and see the needs that are around you. See, God equips his people for service. The purpose isn't in isolation. It's in serving others, ministering. And it begins exactly where God has placed you. Think about our band today. Every person had a role. The guitar, keys, vocals, and drums, they did a great job. And when each person plays their part, harmony happens, and the purpose that God has for us works in the same way, whether it's in your family or your friendships or all the places that you're invested in. Ministry And discipleship starts in the closest area and expands outwards. Equip those closest to you. Serving and equipping your spouse. If you have children, serve and equip them, not just for sports, not just for their career, not just so they can get into the college. Equip them to grow closer to Christ. Your neighbors. Discipling means walking alongside someone. You know, I have a great story. Our dear friends Adam and Kathy, who you know Adam is our pastor here and Kathy is our executive. I remember this crystal clear. We had moved to Montana in 2005. We had come from Real Life in Post Falls, a church of 3,000 or 4,000. It was a big church. And we lived in Lolo, Montana, and we went to this massive church called Church Alive. There were 75 people there. Our life groups that we had left had branched a number of times. We had bigger, more people in our life groups than were in this church from before. Not in the one group, but we had branched it. And I remember, like, I'm Mr. Insurance Guy. How you doing over there? And I remember Adam and Kathy walking in 2006, walking into Church Alive. And guess what I was doing? Guess where they put me? Josh, you're a greeter. I was like, well, that's natural. I mean, come on out. Hey, how you doing? I was greeting earlier. I loved it. That was my gifting. I'm a greeter. You want me to say hi to people? I'm your guy. And so I was greeting, and they came in. Adam and Kathy came in, and I was like, I remember telling Carrie, I was like, I met this super sharp couple. Not hard to figure out because there were 75 of us. I met this super sharp couple. I'm going to invite them to our life group. And we invited Adam and Kathy into our life group. And we got the privilege of walking alongside with Adam and Kathy from 2006 till today. We got the privilege of pouring out everything we could into them, the best that we could. And they grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. And then they did the same thing. They started meeting people. They would start investing people. They launched their own life group, all those things. So we dove into it. And we got the privilege to disciple and walk alongside Adam and Kathy and serve. So living on purpose leads to that step, that multiplying life through ministry and discipleship across all of the areas that you touch.
That's awesome. Discipleship multiplies God's kingdom. Investment in others creates lasting spiritual growth beyond ourselves. You know, Winston Churchill once said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. You know, faith was never meant to stop with us. It's personal, yes, but it's supposed to be contagious. I heard someone recently say, supposed to be like the flu. Awesome. When God changes your life, that change is supposed to ripple out to others. That's why discipleship matters so much, and it multiplies God's kingdom. So again, practicality. I'm like, okay, how do we do this? First, I want to encourage you to share the good news. And this isn't, well, most of the time it shouldn't be about preaching a sermon, right? I don't think most people would want you to do that anyways. Don't give them a sermon. It's supposed to happen more naturally. It could be telling a friend how Jesus carried you through a tough season in your life. It could be offering to pray with a coworker who is completely stressed out. Sometimes it's even asking a simple question, asking someone, what gives you hope when life feels so heavy? Sharing the good news is both shown in what we do, and it also is how we speak to one another. We show it with love. We point people to Jesus because he, again, is that source of love. Second, we connect them into community. I think there's a theme happening here today. We connect them to community. Once you've shared, don't let people walk their faith alone. And again, if you don't know what you're doing, grab somebody and be like, they're new, help me. When we baptize people, that shouldn't be the end. That is the on-ramp to a life growing in their faith. Invite them in. Ask a neighbor to church. Bring a friend to your life group. Encourage your kids to invite their friends to youth group. Invite someone to come along with you where you're serving. Right where your 2 feet are, invite them in. It could also be as simple as opening your home for a meal for somebody. Next, use ministry. Use your gifts within ministry. Every single believer has God-given gifts. And I know some of you are still pushing back on that, but I'm going to be praying for you. You matter. Use your gifts. Pay attention to the needs that are right in front of you. Let God work through you with what he's already put in you. And it could look be like mentoring a friend to learn how to read the Bible. That Bible is a big book. Sometimes it's hard to know where to even start with that thing. Some people are very uncomfortable with praying. Work together as you pray together. Use your work skills here at the church. Don't hold back on your gifts. I want to encourage you to release them. You know, one of the best things you can do is just pray. Ask God, you know, Lord, how do you want me to use my gift or the gifts that you've given me? God, who is it that you want me to minister to? I promise you, he is going to show you your next step. Fourth, we disciple and release others. Discipleship is walking with someone again as you follow Jesus. It's just doing it together. It's the reading the scripture, it's praying, it's serving side by side. And when you're ready, encourage them to lead in their own small ways and then eventually release them to engage on their own. Can you imagine if every single one of us, if every single one of us just picked one person to invest in and that person then picked one other person to invest in, can you imagine the transformation that would happen in our church here, in our communities, in our neighborhoods? I think the ripple effect would be amazing. I think we could spread the flu. You know, I've seen this in my own life. I remember our previous senior pastor, he invited us or invited me into Leader Women's Discipleship Team here at the church. Problem is, we didn't have a women's discipleship team. I was excited because I got to create something, but I was way intimidated. I was scared. But God was so faithful. He brought women alongside me to help me. We prayed together. We studied the scripture. We laid a foundation. Then God brought other women in, and then God brought other women in, and he brought one in particular, and I could see her leadership qualities, and I invested in her. I shared with her how we planted this ministry. I shared the purpose behind why we did what we did, and then I began to release her to lead different areas within that ministry. And then pretty soon, I handed that ministry off to her. And this year, she handed that ministry off to other women. And she's still walking with him, encouraging, but she's releasing. What started out as one invitation from the senior pastor has now multiplied into multiple women who are doing ministry. That's exciting to me. But you know, it just didn't happen in women's discipleship. That's been with everything. When your husband's a senior pastor, sometimes you find yourself in lots of roles, like making coffee. There is no way I could make enough coffee for all the coffee we drink in here. So I had to build a coffee team. You invite people in. When we did children's ministry back in Montana, I could not wrangle all the kids myself. So I invited other people to jump in with me. Each ministry began to grow, one person at a time. The pattern is simple. Invite others in, give them space to grow, encourage them, release them, and every time, watch how God multiplies your work. Josh talked earlier about unleashing an army. And that's what happens when we take time and we take this seriously. When we share and connect and minister and disciple, God's kingdom expands in ways that are far greater than we ever could do on our own.
Yeah. And church isn't just like a building, like I keep telling you guys. You are the church. Church, God has a plan and a purpose for all of us to be growing the kingdom of growing his kingdom. And remember, Jesus says that he is the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Hold on, plug in, squeeze tight your connection to Jesus Christ. Make sure that stays as your first love. Let his presence and his source be your source of strength. God has already equipped you to minister. Ask yourself, where am I ministering? What does it look like? Which area of my life? If you're a junior higher and you go to school here, and you call me Brad sometimes, you have an area of ministry. You have an area of ministry all around you. One of the things I find is if you're doing it by yourself and you're exhausted and you're tired, you're kind of doing it wrong sometimes. And you need to rely on Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, Jesus says, hey, think about it doing it this way maybe. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our strength doesn't come from striving. It comes from abiding. Amen? Our strength doesn't come from striving. It comes from abiding in Christ.
And next, step into discipleship. I want you to remember, invite someone to mentor you, and then you mentor someone else. The invitation is powerful, and that's how multiplication happens. And if you're sitting there saying to yourself right now, I will not. I do not want to invite anybody in. I want to challenge you to ask yourself this question. Why not? For those of you who are ready, when you are with others, take the time to ask questions. One of the best tools you could ever have is curiosity. Use it. Ask questions, guide them, and then release them as you have connected them into the community. We partner with God as he opens the doors. That's our part. God is the one that multiplies the kingdom.
And that takes us to today. It takes us to communion. Let me serve you communion. Here you go. If you're new with us today, we would love for you to take communion with us. We get the privilege of doing this every week, and it certainly connects to every message because Christ is the center of everything that we do here at Real Life. But if you came in and you're new, and I know we have some new folks here, you can raise your hand, and our awesome ushers will bring communion directly to you. Thanks, Ron. Thanks, David. Appreciate it, brother. Raise your hand, and we will bring that communion to you. But we want to be able to take this all together. When you think about it, even what we talked about today, growing in God, walking in community, stepping into purpose, ministering and discipling, those all flow from this connection to Jesus. And that is what communion is all about. It is about that connection. It's about remembering and celebrating the sacrifice that Christ makes possible for us. And so as we take it today, let's acknowledge his body that was broken, his blood that was shed, so that we could be on purpose, so that we could be on mission to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. Put that into your heart, put that into your soul, and put that into your body. So join with me. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, it is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord, we remember you. And in the same way, he took the cup. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it. And remember to me, for whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes in. You are sharing, you are connecting, you are ministering, you are discipling, because he did all of those things. Take and drink. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time. I thank you for just the chance to share what we see you doing, what we've seen you done. And I ask that you put that call into people's hearts here, Lord, that we become a church that is so active outside of these walls, that we are part of that church that unleashes the army. We know what it looks like to be ministered to. We know what it looks like to minister to others. We know what it feels like to be discipled and invested in, and we know how to do that with others, Lord. I ask you just flourish the people that are hearing this message today for your purpose. We love you in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this message from Real Life. You can find out more about us by visiting liferotp.com and connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, have a great week.